Everybody, really? I am more than thrilled.
Oh my gosh.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Dice!
Dice! Dice! Good morning, Dice. Good morning.
What's happening?
I am so thrilled that you're on my piece of crap show. Thank you, Dice.
No, it's not a piece of crap.
It is.
You know, honestly, yesterday I didn't know I was supposed to be on. They've been having me do so much press that I really just didn't know. So, but I apologize.
Oh, wow. You are awesome, Dice. Yeah, thank you, dude.
Because I know when somebody's scheduled for a booking, you know what I mean? You know, and you announce it, and then the guy don't show up. It looks, you know. It don't look too good.
Is that why he's...
You know what I mean?
That's why he's slipping Dice. Are you Dice. Kidding me? You're yeah. awesome, Andrew. Dice is going to be at the Cobbs next Tuesday and Wednesday. Everybody go to Cobbs Comedy Club to see the great Andrew Dice Clay. Dice, I don't know if there are any many comedians who I can say have changed guys' lives, but I can tell you, dude... You're it, and I was so happily surprised. We were just sitting at our house on New Year's Eve, figuring out what we're going to do. I'm flipping around the TV, and I went to Showtime, and oh my God, I said, is this a new Dice special? And
yeah, go ahead.
It kicked ass, and my family and I sat there. We had no idea that we were going to have a very Dice New Year, but we, dude, awesome. Awesome, and welcome back. Welcome flipping back, Dice.
You know what? That's what people have been telling me all around the country, whether it's in print or... You know, on the radio or TV, like, people are just thrilled with this thing. And I'm happy about that because I wanted to do, like, you know, I didn't do a special, like, in 17 and a half years.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to do the most, you know, rock and roll, in-your-face, politically incorrect special I've ever done. And I worked on it for a few years, and people are just responding like crazy. I mean, you know, I didn't even know it would take this quick, but one of the problems was, it's really not even a problem. I mean, it was like the most stolen, pirated special. I mean, it only aired New Year's Eve.
Right.
And I mean, like, you know, the producers of my show and Showtime, they knocked down nearly 1,000 sites, you know, and then they call me up and go, another 300 just went up. You know, and I warn them about this because I know how I affect people, you know, and when you're, you know, I look at myself more like a rock star than a comic because I love the rock and roll element to it.
Yeah.
You know, but when you, you know, are sort of out of the limelight as long as I was and you come back like that, you better damn deliver, and that was the plan. And hearing what you're telling me makes me very happy.
Dice, I'm here to tell you, you did deliver. It made my flipping New Year. I got to think you're so tired of guys climbing in your ass, but I got to tell you, I've been in radio for 40, I almost said the F word because you're on the phone, yeah. 40 flipping years. Way back, it was 1980, whatever, when you were coming out. You did the Cap Center, Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Sunday night, I got to get up the next day at 4 a.m. I'm there. I paid for tickets. Didn't get them for free. Paid for tickets. Second row. I have a shirt that my wife made me that says, Hickory Dickory Dock. This chick is sucking my... And I realized...
Chick was good.
Yeah. Dice.
That's all I got to do it on the radio.
I realized that... I
poems have to end with that. When people tell me to do... You know, like Little Boy Blue.
I don't know if you know this, dude. I just have to tell you, there's never been a comedian that would make me react that way, not before you and not after you, to where I would pay for tickets, take a night, a school night, go to work, and wear a stupid goddamn shirt with the thoughts that you're going to see me and go, oh, there's a stupid effort that gets it. Really.
You know what? There's nothing better than thrilling, you know, people that like what you do. And really giving them those kind of laughs that people, I think, really need today. I think people are so sick of that politically incorrect.
You yes.
can't say this, you can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, this is no apologies. Trust me. I mean, you saw the special.
You're good, man. And, you're back, you know, all the way.
And we're going back into these places. I mean, I went down to Florida last week. I'm like, just, you know, I'm playing some markets just to get the year going. And it was bedlam in these clubs. I mean, you know, I was doing like when I come to Cobbs, I'm doing what nights again?
You're doing next Tuesday and Wednesday night at Cobbs.
Okay, so I was doing that kind of stuff in Florida, you know, and the club owners, you know, they're dripping sweat, they're pulling in chairs, they go, Dice, there's nowhere for people, you know. So now my agents are already, like, booking some of these bigger theaters, And, you know, it's a real exciting time for me. It's a complete resurgence at this point.
I got to tell you
something. What's funny is, you know, years ago when I would do lines about women, like, treat me like the pig that I am.
Oh!
You know, if you follow what I do, you know, years ago it was, oh, he shouldn't say that. And if you even see in the special, when I tell them what little piglets and slobs they've become over the years, you know, how this new generation are the most aggressive animals ever in history,
mm-hmm.
they're pumping their fists and chanting my name. I mean, at the beginning of my special, I walk out, and this chick, I'm not even kidding, you know, I got this whole, like, new audience since I did Entourage, so
right.
you got these girls in their 20s and their early 30s, they're sitting there with her legs wide open with
go.
A beer between them. And, you know, I had to address it if you watch the special. You know,
you did. And you did, Dice. You did.
I think I could say the word box on the
show. Yeah, thing. Sure you
know.
Did.
Yeah, when I said, you know, honey, nice box. You know, I mean, it's just crazy what's going on already. You know.
Well, listen, Dice, let's talk about...
And my kid's band... You know, the band that opened the show, L.A. Rocks, they were at the Whiskey last week, and, you know, they put their EP up on iTunes, their first, you know, album, L.A. Rocks. And over the holidays, it was number one on iTunes.
Hey, like that.
And I'm going, this is going to be crazy, because now I got to manage them, you know, and they're my kids, you know.
Yeah.
It's a real crazy time, you know. It's really like, I wasn't prepared for it to take this quick.
You got no people.
You know what I mean?
People love you, Dice. Let me ask you about Entourage.
Sure.
I thought it was brilliant that you came on Entourage and you are not parodying yourself, but you allowed yourself to be seen as you truly are. I love the thought that the great Andrew Dice Clay was going to have to be on the stupid show Johnny's Bananas, where it's an animated show. How did that come about? And God, Dice, you got balls to go back on TV and play yourself as the real, vulnerable, down-on-his-luck Andrew Dice Clay. How did that happen, dude?
Well, it's, you know, if you got time for this story, okay.
I do, yeah,
so,
please.
So let's cut back to about 3 years ago when the career was just like, nothing was really happening. I mean, I was working, I was playing clubs, but I wasn't making any career moves because for the last 10 years I was bringing up my sons. You know, I went through, you know, like we all go through, right. And we never learn, you know, with divorce and,
yeah.
You know, so my boys live with me and it was like, sort of a, you know, to be a little serious for a second, you know, I had to make, like, a decision. Am I going to go out and make career moves, or am I going to bring up my kids the right way? You know what I mean?
Good man.
So about 3 years ago, once they were getting a little older, I was able to start making moves again. But we were going through the recession really heavy. And I went through a summer of gambling in Vegas because I was playing, at that time, a small room at the Hilton, a small club at the Hilton. And, you know, I had lawsuits against me. I mean, everything bad you could imagine was happening. You know what I mean? And so I went through this summer and, you know, to be honest, I won $1 million because I used to really be a heavy blackjack player.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't end like wow. I mean, I go out, I paid some of the bills, I fought the lawsuit. You know, I bought a bunch of cars, and I mean a bunch of them, you know. I mean, everybody was getting cars, you know. It was crazy.
Were you like Elvis?
And then by the end, I lost most of it because that's what gambling is. It's a gamble. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I live like the summer of hangover. You know, that's what I call it. You know, every suite, everything a hotel had to offer, you know, I was doing. You know, I got a new wife. She, you know, she's like brand new. We're married like, she's half my age. We got married 3 years ago. So I come back from Vegas and I'm just beaten up. It's like, I'm blown out. So I say to my wife, I go, look, I'm just going to go over to Starbucks with Max. That's my oldest son.
Right.
And, so we're sitting there, and this guy comes walking up that I haven't seen, like, in 15 years. His name is Bruce Rubenstein. He's my manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
He became my manager. This is what happened. But when I saw Bruce, you know, he was like, you know, he was wearing the work boots with the mud on it. There was, like, cement on his pants. You know, he he worked with Mickey Rourke for 25 years.
Wow.
Okay, he actually wrote the movie Bullet that Mickey did with Tupac.
Oh,
and
wow.
I see him, and we're happy to see each other, you know. And we changed numbers, and the next day we meet at Starbucks again. He's going, Dice, you know, last time I saw you, the biggest thing in the world, then you just disappeared. What happened? So I start telling him about what went on in my life, you know.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm doing it, you know how everybody's always playing with their phone that you want to hit them over the head with a cinder block?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That they're not looking at you?
Right.
He's going, no, I'm listening, I'm listening. And all of a sudden he looks up at me and he goes, look, all I could tell you is Doug Ellen, who's the creator of Entourage, he goes, wants to meet with you today and thinks you're the greatest comic that ever was. That's it. And I go, how do you know that? And he goes, because I'm emailing with him right now. And the reason Bruce was even dressed the way he was that day is because, you know, after Mickey, he started, like, his own construction company.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here's this guy with the muddy boots on getting me a meeting with the showrunner of the hottest show on HBO, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. And so I meet with Doug, and I'm figuring, all right, it would be nice, a little walk-on like a lot of the celebrities do. But then Doug calls me and he goes, I want to sit down with you. And as we're sitting there, I'm telling him what it's been for the last, you know, like 15 years, really.
Right.
You know, and it winds up this whole character arc. And that's where the whole thing came in about the money. Why, you know, why I just wouldn't fold, because it really had to do with my kids.
Right.
You know, that's why with the Johnny Bananas thing, I'm going, we walk off the show. Mm-hmm. You know, we do the, you know, what I would say on the show.
Yeah, I loved it. Know? Loved it.
Yeah, and that's how the whole thing started. This guy just turned my career around, and from that came the Woody Allen, which we shot half of it in San Francisco this past summer.
Jesus.
You know, and then the special... I knew a special would come once I did Entourage, so I really just started working the material. And, you know, I just really wanted to get out there and bang people over the head with it again.
You did, you know, man.
There's a couple classic bits in there, which I'm sure you appreciated it.
I loved everything you did, man.
But, you know, but to talk about this new generation and where we've gone and, you know, because I deal a lot with sexuality and what people do to each other. You know, behind closed doors, and just the response and the honesty of, you know, and of course I'm not doing it as a, you know, a politician. I'm blowing it over the top.
Being real.
People are just loving it, you know. You know, when a book comes out called 50 Shades of Grey, a pornographic book that saves an entire, you know, Barnes and Noble, and I'm going, those are the kind of books I used to buy for $1.50 under a train station in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, me and my friend, and we'd rip it in half. It didn't matter who got the front or back. It's all filth. You know, as long as I have an orgasm by page three, I was happy. You know, what do I care?
Dice, I hate it when you get when stupid celebrities will come back with stories of being reborn and everything. Will you just tell me what it was like? You're Andrew Flippin' Dice Clay. You're the best comedian of all time, dude. You were there, and then you went away for a while. And now you're back. What is that like? What is that arc like, Dice?
Well, you know what? The one thing that, you know, people always ask, like, the difference is it's hysterical. It's like I talk about Dice like he's a different person. Because obviously I don't walk around my house just throwing profanities around and, you know, talking about, you know, chicks and, you know, all the things I talk about on stage. But the real part of me is that's very real is the confidence I have in myself. And the belief in my talent and what I could do. And, you know, when I started in comedy years ago, I really wanted to develop for people the most exciting stand-up ever. Because, you know, when I would see most comics on stage, they're not too visual. They don't know too much about performance art. Like, you know, I talk about guys like Robin Williams a lot because, you know, Robin Williams, on top of being a great comic, is an actor. You know, so when he'd be on stage, when I first came out to the Comedy Store years ago, he was all over the place. He understood what it is not to just stand there and to entertain a crowd and be all over the stage, you know, and that adds such an element to performance when an audience is sitting there, You know, they don't want to just see you stand dead center in front of a mic. You know, they want a show, and that's what I want them to give people. You know, and that's how the whole Dice thing happened.
So Dice,
you know, I want to do for comedy what Elvis did for rock and roll years ago.
You did it, man. And you know, and just like Elvis, with his comeback special.
That's right.
This is the Vegas. This special that I saw on New Year's Eve. And Dice, I had no idea that you were doing it. It was dumb luck, man.
Today they start LOL. What is it? LOL Comedy did it. They start. You know, the special has been so stolen that Showtime actually gave them permission to start downloading.
Oh, really?
Today, which is the 18th, so it's LOL Comedy.
There you go.
People could go to it. But, I mean, it's all over the place. It's even on YouTube. You know, it's crazy.
Well, the thing is, Dice, it is brilliant, and people were dying for you to come back and do this. Please tell me that
this
is...
That's why I don't want to disappoint them. You know what I mean, Don?
So this is not the end of you doing specials. Are you going to do more specials?
Well, I'm sure, you know, I got another special in me, but, you know, right now I'm going to tour. I'm coming to Cobb's next week, but then I start this whole, I made a huge deal with the Hard Rock in Las Vegas, so I'm going to start that in March.
Nice.
You know, we're already booking like 3,000 and 4,000 seaters because, you know, the clubs aren't holding me enough. Clubs are the most fun to do because you can really get into it with the crowd. You know, but, you know, I think I owe it to my fans and myself to do another big tour.
Well, why don't you, Dice? Why don't you? Jesus Christ. Yeah. I am thrilled to talk to you. I'm so glad that we got you today and we had all of this time with you. I'm happy to promote. Dice will be at Cobb's next Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tickets go to CobbsComedyClub.com. I meant it when I said you're one of the greatest comedians of all goddamn time. You make me laugh.
Absolutely.
You make me laugh like no guy does, Dice. Love you.
And there's no holes. You know what I mean? I know what animals people are.
Yes.
You're
damn right.
You know how stupid people are.
The great Andrew.
Think of half the call-ins you get that you got to hang up on these idiots.
Oh, you must be listening. My audience is full of idiots.
You got to turn around and go, is this what their plan was for today? To call here and be stupid and not even get on the air?
You must be listening. You must be listening, dude. You must be listening.
It goes on, you know, and it never ceases to amaze me how stupid they are.
Do I love Dice?
I talked a little, I'm not looking to do like the material from the special, but like when you do go to a party today and people only want to talk about their electronic toys, you know, and you know, and they're giving you lines like, hey, did you get my email earlier? And I'm like, you're right in front of me. Come on. Just talk to me. Take the headset out of your head.
Yeah.
You know, and let's bang the ugly chick in the master bedroom.
He's so nice. Don't you love him? Right there. Hey, Dyson, if I could ask you one favor, this is Phantom that does the news on this show. Could we just record you going, hey, this is Dice, and here's Phantom with the news?
Phantom?
Yeah. Yeah, Phantom.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
We're rolling for Dice. Here we go.
You tell me when.
Right now. We're rolling right now, Andrew.
How you doing? This is Andrew Dice Clay, and you're listening to Phantom on the news.
Oh, is that the best ever? Seriously.
Awesome.
Dice, I've loved you so long. Thank you for your time. Everybody, please go see Dice at Cobb's next week.
I'm supposed to say the Twitter thing, which is the real Dice Clay, if people want to tweet.
You got it. Yeah.
Great work, Dice. Right?
But, God
I'm looking
damn.
Forward to coming there. I want to see a lot of fat girls in the front.
Oh, you will?
Yes.
I like them beefy, you know, and I've been to San Francisco. I know, you know, that's the one good thing about San Francisco, the odds of chicks to every guy.
Right.
I like that a lot.
Man.
You know what I mean?
God damn,
you know,
Andrew Dice Clay.
It's almost like when that Mitt Romney was going, you know, if I'm, you know, president, no more gay marriage. I'm like, What are you talking about? More chicks for us. What do you care? You know what I mean?
Hickory dickory dock. You're the best. Andrew Dice Clay. I want to thank you, Dice. You're awesome.
Yes,
anytime. I would love to have you back. Thank you, Dice. Thank you. Thank you, Dice.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I want to give a full segment to this thing, this Seinfeld thing that we started yesterday. It's rare that we do something and I'll say, let's do it again the next day. But we only did it for a couple of seconds yesterday, late in the show at the 9 o'clock hour. I've got this Seinfeld trivia game that Jenna got us for Thanksgiving. And as it turns out, It's one of the best Seinfeld trivia games ever. I mean, you really got to be an aficionado. It's got an easy question and a hard question on each one of these cards. And the way we played yesterday was you get the easy question as a warm-up. Then when you answer the hard question, if you get it wrong, you have your choice of either getting a part of your body snapped by a mousetrap, or you can get slapped in the face by one of us, or the new one today would be from Jerkman88, that would be belt strap.
Yeah.
Where one of us will take off our belts and just whip the other's ass with the belt. Now, I'm a big pussy, and I didn't take the mousetrap yesterday.
Well, actually you did, because I inadvertently popped off and caught you.
Towards the end. But during the actual show, when I got one wrong, I couldn't take the mousetrap, so I told Drew he could slap me, and he just beat the hell out of the side of my face.
He sure did.
Well, you returned the favor moments
happily, and I think the best sound yesterday was the sound of Phantom's brittle fingers.
It sounded like a bone crack.
Thank you. Yeah. Breaking.
I'll do it again. I don't care.
underneath the mousetrap. So if you guys are ready, that's how we play. We already know how we play the game. Let's begin, and... Drew Hoffer.
Yeah.
I'll go with you first, Drew.
You get to go first.
Drew, here's the easy one. What kind of soup does Newman order?
Oh.
From the Soup Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
Newman.
This is your easy one.
Is it minestrone?
No, it's jambalaya.
Jambalaya.
I'm bad at this game.
I was thinking minestrone, too.
And now your harder Seinfeld trivia.
It doesn't matter about that one, though, Drew.
I won't get it.
Well, you will.
Tia, the woman that Jerry met on an airplane, comes to his apartment wearing a new Calvin Klein perfume. What does she say the perfume is called?
Oh, jeez. Peach?
No, it would be, that would be the ocean.
Oh. The ocean, that's Kramer's,
the ocean,
too,
the beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan cannot go later. He could go now if you wanted him now, and then do.
Oh, no, dude, I'm in the middle of this now.
Okay, I didn't know.
Maybe we'll reschedule Dan for tomorrow. I don't know. I don't want to make a mess of this. It's just, you know, having to play these commercials all the time is really screwing me up, Joe. It's really screwing me up.
Pretzels are really making me thirsty.
They sure are. Anyway, let's just see how this goes. Give me 10 minutes. See how this goes. Okay. Oh, you got it wrong.
So, yes, I have it wrong. So,
what's your plan, Drew?
What would you like? Would you like the slap, the trap, or the belt strap?
Let's break out the belt. Let's break out the belt for the first one.
I ain't got a belt.
I got a belt.
How is that going to? I want to see how that's going to work.
Is there going to whip me in the ass once?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I got a belt. Sure.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Does it have to be that thick of a belt?
That's a big
this
one.
Is my belt, man. It's got to hold my big belly.
Did you sharpen the buckle
before
you came
here? It's like a CHP belt.
If I use the business.
Hey, you're lucky, though. It could have been like one of those razor straps.
Yeah, with the Jim
Morrison belt or something.
One of these, like a... Oh, come on now. That was on the console. I'm just giving it a test.
I know, but I'm just...
Oh, dear.
Oh!
Oh, yes.
Oh. Okay. All right. You ready?
You should have studied.
No,
Drew.
I'm not ready now after that.
How is that going to work?
Get a running start.
And Drew have a history from yesterday's slap off.
I'm going to smack his bottom.
I know, but this.
Right. Smack his ass.
Okay,
this.
Let's get that.
How many times now?
Just once, I think. All right, here we go. Left handed, though, so that's tough.
Hold on. Come over here and bend over
this side. Bend over this side.
He wants right
hand. He wants to hit you right hand. Okay, that's. Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, and you mark.
Can you get a.
That was lame.
That was weak, dog.
I think you need
a wind up. Do you
he's got to turn around.
Yeah, I need to get
door.
Enough room here.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay, here we go.
He's warming up like he's swinging a baseball bat.
Oh, hey, 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 cow.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh,
oh, hey.
Oh,
wow. Hey, there's nothing to see here. Move along. Come on.
I am sorry.
Wow.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Wow. Wow. Drew actually got a lot of air. Cuts.
I don't like that.
Got about a little vertical, 36-inch vertical over there.
He caught me right
Mr.
on the
Cardinal
right
Newman.
Oh, my God.
Is it wrong to be aroused by that?
If it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Next person, please.
You're a good man, Drew.
Yeah, leave a mark?
Drew. Whatever, man.
I tell you what.
We'll check in the break there, won't we, Drew?
Yeah. I ain't going for that if I lose, man. I'll let you hit me again before that. Okay, Phantom Buddy.
Yes, let's do it, man.
Phantom Buddy. George tells Sue, here's your easy one.
Okay.
George tells Susan he's got a great name for their kids. A real original.
Right.
What is it?
Isn't it seven?
It is seven.
Yeah.
And now your hard question.
See, that doesn't matter.
George tells Jerry he was able to coax Elaine into helping him spike Levitin's drink by telling her that Levitin cheats on his wife and doesn't do what? George tells Jerry he was able to coax Elaine into helping him spike Levitin's drink by telling her that Levitin cheats on his wife and doesn't do what? That's a hard one, man.
He doesn't perform services on her nether regions.
He doesn't recycle. He doesn't recycle.
I like mine better.
I do too.
Your choice. Slap, trap.
Mouse trap?
No, I'm in a mouse trap.
Mouse trap it. All right, Phantom's in a mouse trap.
I'm going to try to.
Okay, everybody, based on yesterday.
How did you do the thumb?
Turn your radios up. Turn your radios up to give this one a listen.
Okay, we're going to need a lot of.
No.
Oh.
Put the mic down here.
Yeah, okay.
So. Here's the mouse trap. And just kind of put your thumb.
Yeah, but I don't. Just. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Phantom.
Dude, it's still stuck on his thumb.
Come on, Drew. That's not how you do it.
That's tough, exactly, man.
How you do it. Oh,
Jesus, that's tough.
That one. Oh, bad.
Boy, that's tough.
That hurts, huh?
Yeah, I should have done the left thumb. But there's always another question, I guess.
Craig, buddy.
Yes.
Everybody likes Seinfeld. Here is your question. Here's your easy question, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Kramer and Elaine are riding the subway when the train stops at Queensboro Plaza. Kramer tells Elaine the stop is famous for these and jumps out.
They're famous for these and jumps out.
Yeah. Kramer and Elaine are riding the subway when the train stops at Queensboro Plaza. Kramer tells Elaine the stop is famous for these and then leaps out.
Street musicians?
No, gyros.
Gyros. Euros?
And now, Euros. And now your tough one.
Okay.
What toy did Sister Roberta give Kramer when he came to pick George up from his meeting at the church?
Oh, hell, I don't know. A pinwheel.
That's another hard one, man. That's a very hard
one. I'm going to say a pinwheel.
It's, no, that would be a slinky.
Okay.
A slinky.
Who wants to slap me in the face?
I do. I sure do. All right, I really do.
Step up, Drew.
Hell yeah!
Step up, Drew.
I'll go over there.
Right, now you get the choice now of slap, trap, or belt strap.
Watch the ear.
Yeah. So this is gonna be just a full on slap. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
One, two.
Oh! I love you, brother.
That's a tough one too, man. Wow, my face was numb for about a half hour after the show yesterday after Drew slapped me.
Oh man, that was
wow.
That was hot.
Let's go to Little Joe Pittman. You ready, Little Joe?
Of course I am.
He knows Seinfeld about as well as
anybody. He does. Here's your easy one.
All right.
Here's your easy one. George asks Elaine if she also finds it unbearable to be around Jerry and his girlfriend, Sheila.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call each other that makes Elaine go, ugh?
Smooch.
I'm going to give it to you. It's schmoopy.
Schmoopy.
I can't. Schmoopy. I know it. I can't say
it. Little Joe. All right,
I still can't say it.
Schmoopy.
You got it, Joe.
I know, Shmoopy. I know.
And now the tough ones.
Right. Jewish.
George tells his girlfriend, Sienna,
yes,
that everything has changed except for one particular household item. What item? I don't know
wow.
This one either.
And
I'm looking at the answer right here.
Time's up, Joe.
Everything has changed except for one household item.
Yep.
The doll of his mom, the clown doll.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
What's it going to be, Joe? Is it going to be a slap, trap, or belt strap?
You know, I'm, let's go ahead and try the belt strap out.
The belt strap.
Oh, no.
Well, listen, here you go. Drew, you want to,
Hell yeah.
There you go. Good luck.
Do the honors.
Good luck. Take that old belt. That old ratty belt of mine.
It's a military belt.
That old
ratty
belt.
I don't know why all of a sudden I got nervous with you doing it.
There you go. That's how you get it.
Yeah.
That's how you get
that
done.
Thick leather belt.
You know, that's how you get it done. You ready? Hold on. Three. And two. And one.
Oh, he got the back.
Oh, dude, you got him in the back.
You got him in the back.
Oh, man. Oh, you have to do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Redo.
No.
You got him right in the back, man.
Joe did his job, yeah.
You got him right in the back. All right, Drew, give me a question here. Oh, give me a question. Let's go. I'm ready
right,
for my first
go.
Try. Give me the easy one first, please.
Okay, easy one first. If George gets abducted by aliens, would he rather be in their zoo or in their circus?
Chief.
That's a great question.
And I do not remember. I'm going to obviously guess what episode is that from. Does anybody know?
I know.
I'm going to guess he wants to be in their circus.
The zoo.
The zoo.
Oh, well, good. That, I'm glad that wasn't the hard one. Okay, give me the hard one.
George says that he was throwing up all night Like it was his own personal crying game when he saw that his father had these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Boobs.
That's correct.
Man boobs.
That's
yeah.
correct.
Man boobs.
Wow,
that's a
correct.
Pretty easy,
that's
tough
a very
one.
Good pull, though.
Wow, that's
you
know, it's funny.
Under pressure, Don. Good
know,
job.
The first one Goodness. Was like a 50-50, but that hard one was easier than the first one. I'm still trying to remember that episode.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Drew Hoffer.
Hoffer.
George says if it was socially acceptable, he would drape himself in this fabric.
Oh, yes.
Silk?
No. Close. Velvet.
Velvet.
Velvet. Velvet. And now the tough one. I bet you nailed this one, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
George approaches Buck Showalter at Yankee Stadium to discuss the team's uniforms. What change does George recommend? Right? We all remember this episode.
I don't know. I don't know. He puts dots on the uniform.
Oh,
I don't know.
You don't remember the Yankee episodes?
No, man.
They want to go to cotton from,
yes.
from polyester. Yeah. Yeah, to go from polyester to cotton fabric. And you remember at the end of the episode, then the Yankees are losing the game because
the uniform shrinking?
Yeah.
Well, Drew, what will it be? Slap trap or belt strap?
Let's do the trap.
Okay, let's do the
what
trap.
What are you
going to
do,
oh,
Chief?
I don't know. What are we thinking?
You're, you want to play the one-upper game? Because the tongue would be kind of fun.
No, you know what?
No.
Your finger would be fine. Whatever. Your finger, your thumb.
Your sack.
I can say, as you know, the thumb is pretty painful.
All right, Drew. What are you doing?
Oh! No, that didn't help.
That didn't get him. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Let me get the mic.
Are you going to do that? Okay, that's the one I did yesterday.
Ow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Oh, man. We are a bunch of dicks, aren't we?
Yeah, that's pretty painful. You wouldn't think it, but that hurts like a son of a bitch.
It really does.
Did you get the bone there, my friend?
Yeah, that's not good.
Jesus. Yeah.
All right, Phantom.
Yeah.
Phantom, here's the easy one to warm
up
on.
Sure.
What baseball player does George want to name his future baby after? It's kind of a follow-up on the other question we have about George.
Mickey Mantle.
That's correct. Mickey Mantle.
Oh, that's because it's now seven.
The seven.
Yeah.
And now your hard one, which I bet you get right away. After George joins a book club, what is the first book he's supposed to read? Can we give him a hint?
Watches the movie.
No, we can't give
him. No, I can't get a hint.
Joe just gave you a hint.
Yeah.
It's not Dr. Seuss. There's your hint.
Thank you.
You got anything, Phantom?
No.
It's Breakfast at Tiffany's. Remember, because George has to go to the guy's house to watch it.
That's right.
And George ends up spilling, I think it's grape soda all over the couch.
I wish it was grape soda.
That's right.
Well, Joe, I gotta get matching thumbs here.
That's right, because the people was black. I remember that, Joe.
Okay, Phantom.
Again with the mousetrap.
Are you doing a mousetrap again?
Yeah, I mean, I watch you guys get smashed. I don't want to do that.
Okay, here goes Phantom with the mousetrap. Right.
Look at his face. Oh,
that was fine. That was good.
I kind of went Seinfeld more.
That's awesome.
Craig Hairless.
Yes, him.
Whom said to whom? Remember, you're a king. You must protect a royal bearing.
Okay, I'm gonna say it was George saying it to Jerry's dad.
Nope, it was Kramer to George. And to be honest, I don't remember that from Seinfeld. I don't.
That was an easy one?
Yep, that was the easy one. Here's the hard one. Fill in the missing name from this quote by George. It's like I'm blank. I turn around for a sip of Tang, and you jump out first.
Sip of Tang.
Fill in the missing name from this quote by George. It's like I'm blank.
Oh, yeah.
I turn around for a sip of Tang, and you jump out first.
I have a clue. Yeah. Nostradamus.
Think of history.
Okay.
I take a sip of Tang. Right. I turn around for a sip
Am
of
I right,
Tang.
Joe?
Oh, it's like Neil Armstrong. Or
it is
right?
Neil Armstrong.
And you know what? I'll take one anyway.
No. It's from the episode where George and they go up to the Hamptons, and the girlfriend, George's girlfriend, takes off her top in front of everybody.
But he's not there, and they all see it before he does. He never gets to see it.
That was also the shrinkage episode.
Yes,
I think it was.
I believe you're right.
And also the one where Kramer gets the lobsters.
Yes,
and the breathtaking ugly baby.
Yeah.
Let's see. Slow Joe, are you playing?
Sure, why not?
Okay. All right, Slow Joe. Here we go. I got one for you. Here's your easy one. George didn't have a heart attack in Monk's, but what does the doctor tell him grew back? George didn't have a heart attack in Monk's, but what does the doctor tell him grew back?
His tonsils.
His tonsils is correct.
Wow, that a boy.
And now the tough one.
It was an easy one.
At the Holistic Healer's apartment, George tells Jerry he could do this in the time that it takes him to have an orgasm. At the Holistic Healer's apartment, George tells Jerry he could do this in the time that it takes him to have an orgasm.
I don't meditate.
No, his taxes. His okay. Taxes.
Well, I guess it's my mousetrap time.
Oh,
come
good.
On over,
yes.
Joe. Come on, no, come on over here. Okay. Leave your post and come on over here for a second. We'll get this going over
which
here.
Which third general order?
What?
Quit my post at all times.
That's right. Thank you. Come
you're
on over here.
Relieved.
Come on, Private Pile. Oh, there
boy.
You go.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Joe. You ready?
Hey,
my
hey,
hey. You ready? Do you
yeah,
got two? You're doing
this.
Two fingers.
I want to do it fast.
Okay, good. All right.
Wait, three. Now, well, now, wait, two.
What's he doing?
He looks like you're doing the shocker.
That's straight good. In.
He's going straight in with
we're
two.
Slow,
yeah,
yeah,
we're
going to
go two.
Jump.
We're
going
to go fast.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go. Ah!
That was a good one.
Little joke. No offense to Dan Dierdorf. He's a great guy.
No, we're good.
I had to go with this now. I had to go with this.
Yeah.
I knew yesterday that this was radio gold.
I
knew it yesterday.
It's so tingly. Numb.
That was a really good one.
Numb and stingy.
Little Joe.
And it caught a piece of my thumb for some reason, too.
For some reason, yeah.
Tom Pepper.
You have thumbs.
Reads for the role of Kramer. When he leaves the NBC offices, he takes this with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's your warm-up.
He takes the, some kind of, the peanuts or the...
You're close.
There's nuts or... There's
box of raisins.
Raisins.
Box of raisins.
Yeah.
All right, that's your warm-up. Here's your tough one.
That's a good episode,
stupid
too.
Joe.
Jerry's trying to make small talk with Vanessa in Vermont. It comes to a screeching halt when she refuses to tell him the name of this holiday. Hold on a second.
Wait.
Jerry's trying to make small talk with Vanessa in Vermont. It comes to a screeching halt when she refuses to tell him the name of this holiday. You know, I got to break down the third wall here for a second. This doesn't make sense because it says the answer is the perfume she's wearing. Right? That doesn't... Is that the one where they take... Is that the episode where they go to the party and it, is it Michael Chiklis that's having the party? Like,
I'm
Alan,
sorry. No, it says here the moops.
I'm going to give you another one, Joe.
All right,
I'm
going to
give you another one. Honestly, that doesn't make much sense. All right, here's a tough one for you. Jerry says Uncle Leo talks about this kid like he split the atom. Hint, he works for the Parks Department. Jerry says that Uncle Leo talks about this kid like he split the atom. Hint, he works for the Parks Department.
God, I know. I can hear. I just drawn a blank on the... Kid, God.
His name is Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one, Joe. The episode was the pony remark. It must be the one where...
Right.
I
had pony.
That's yeah, all. And then she dies.
Oh, right,
and she
right, dies. Right, right. And Jerry, the softball game.
Jerry doesn't go to the funeral. He goes to the funeral, and it ends up raining.
Raining, so he gets to play in the softball
but
game.
But he has, like, the worst softball game he's ever had in his life.
Gets picked off. Who gets picked off in softball?
That's it.
Right. There you go.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Little Joe.
We're
now, what do you got traps. Here? What do you got here? Two mouse traps?
I'll do mouse traps, and I'll go like this.
Two mouse traps.
Oh, wow.
One hand.
Simultaneous mouse trap, yeah?
Here we go. Right,
ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Only one of us. Yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
Incoming.
Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, this thing is flying all over the console. What the hell?
So,
you knocked over all the cards.
Oh. What a mess.
That one stabbed inside.
All right, I'll take one, Drew. I'll take one. Give me one there. Right. Pick me a question, please.
Okay, here's your easy one.
Okay, ready.
Feldman, a.k.a. Bizarro Kramer, has an idea for an alarm clock that doesn't just wake you up with a ring or a buzzer. It also does what?
That's the easy one? Now, yep. That's where obviously that's where they had, like, the Bizarro Jerry,
yes.
The Bizarro Kramer. I got to be honest, I have no idea.
It tells you the weather, Don.
Tells you the weather, Don. Oh, I would have gotten smacked if that was the hard one.
That I'm already purple.
Yeah, that's bad. Your finger's purple, Joe. All right, give me the...
Wow, dude.
Give me the hard one.
Could be our first fracture.
Give me the hard one.
After seeing his act, Sally wants to show Jerry around. What Tennessee city are they in?
Oh. Memphis.
Yes, that's
Memphis.
Correct.
Wow. Dodge is another one.
That is correct. Goodness.
There's only three in Tennessee.
Two,
there's Nashville, Memphis, and Knoxville, which is like Richmond.
Drew Hoffer, buddy.
Yep.
Here's your easy one. Kramer makes a quick $50 doing this at the police precinct.
Filing.
No, standing in a lineup.
I do remember that one now.
And now the tough one. Frank Costanza accuses Kramer of stealing when he sees Kramer wearing this.
Oh, jeez.
This was on yesterday, right?
It was on yesterday.
That's not fair, Don.
Yes,
his Cabana shirt.
That's fair.
His Cabana shirt.
I remember that one.
Props to Drew, but that's not.
I remember that one.
I would remember because it was on last night. That's the only reason I remember it.
Oh, man.
You're listening to Slap Trap or Belt Strap. Phantom.
You know what's funny about that episode? Yeah. Remember when he takes Cabana stuff to the pawn shop or the cellar? That guy who lights that stuff on fire, isn't he the one that gets laid off in Wayne's World at the donut shop and he's talking to Ed?
The fat guy with the mustache?
Yeah.
Might be. The button-down mind of Joe Ardinger.
It is weird you remember. I swear it's the same guy. I might have to look that up.
Huh. But you swear it's the same guy.
No, that's not cricket worthy. Okay, maybe.
He knew it was coming.
It's sponge worthy, but not cricket
that's
worthy.
Not yeah.
Sponge worthy.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Phantom, here is your easy one. When Elaine does this, George describes it as more like a full body high dry heave set to music.
Dancing.
Yeah, you got that.
There you go, Phantom.
And now you're tough.
Doesn't mean any good.
In a conversation between Jerry's parents, it's revealed that Elaine grew up in this state.
Oh, I know it.
Elaine grew up in this state.
Vermont?
No, Maryland.
Baltimore.
You remember? She wears an Orioles hat to the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Phantom, what's it going to be? Slap,
I don't know.
Trap, or belt strap?
I kind of want to try a different mode, but I don't trust anybody here to administer. So I think I'll just go to my standby.
Oh, wow. Okay, again with the mousetraps for Phantom.
I don't know.
Third mousetrap.
I don't know which one it is.
And incidentally, when someone breaks a finger, the game is over.
I'm actually going to try to break it. if I miss it, I'll
yeah, you got nine
back.
More, right?
Yeah. All
right.
It's turning blue.
Oh, Phantom. He did that without any warning. Just on his own. Boom.
You want to get that one out of the way.
Man, we were talking over it. Can you do that again?
Sure, bring it over. I'll do it again.
Craig Hairless.
Yes, I'm.
Susan's doorman gives her a box that was salvaged from the cabin fire. Inside are letters from what writer?
Yes.
Oh.
See, but that's so hard. How are you supposed to know the guy's name, though?
Because I remember,
but he's a famous writer.
Yeah, I remember the episode.
Yeah, it's gay form.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I remember their homo letters.
Vonnegut. I don't know.
Do you know the name, Drew?
No, I remember the episode.
It's John Cheever.
Cheever.
Yeah. That was the easy one.
That was the easy one. And now your tough one. George tells Audrey that this ABC news anchor might have had a nose job.
This Ooh. ABC anchor.
George tells Audrey that this ABC TV news anchor might have had a nose job.
Is it Barbara Walters?
It is Peter Jennings.
Oh! And bring me a mousetrap, please.
Mousetrap.
Okay, mousetrap time for Craig, buddy. Here we go.
Craig hasn't done too many mousetraps.
No.
Well, he's like me. He's kind of scared of him.
You're going to go.
Rightly so.
I think I'm going to do it on the forearm.
Oh, okay. There's no.
Whoa, oh, come dude. On.
Fine, I'll do it on my hand.
All right, here we go. On your hand.
One. That's meaty.
Two.
Oh! Why can't I count to
you
three?
You shot it at me. Wow.
You know, only
That's
Phantom,
what she said.
Only Phantom has that brittle bone-breaking sound.
Well, he went on the fleshy
sounds
part
like
over
it's,
there.
Yeah. Sounds like it's hitting a pretzel stick.
Bring it.
Slow Joe.
Yes, sir.
Slosif Joseph.
Do it again.
There's no bicycle in Kevin's, that's Bizarro Jerry's apartment. What's in its place? There is no bicycle in Kevin's Bizarro Jerry's apartment. What is in its place?
God, I have to throw out a guess. Oh, is it a unicycle?
It is a unicycle.
I caught the visual at the last second.
It is.
Well done, and now your tough one.
God, that was tough.
George is able to get Susan to agree to postpone the wedding from December to March. How does he do it?
Oh, jeez.
I gotta know this one.
It's an easy one, Joe.
December to March. Because spring is nicer.
No, he cries. He cries. You remember that when he cries and he's amazed to tell Jerry how great it works?
All right, coming over for another mousetrap.
Coming over for another mousetrap. All right. Try not to have it fly all over the place this time. Come on over. And Lil Joe, how is your finger? It seems your finger's the worst out of everybody. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, wow.
What did you do, Joe?
Now, why don't you tweet out a picture of that?
What'd you do?
Mousetrap.
I know, but I did that too.
Joe, what are you thinking as far as digits go?
Do your penis.
Yeah, right.
Do your penis.
Do your nose.
He had to ask.
Did you see that video yesterday?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Don, I got to show you the video. Sorry, Drew. A listener sent in a video of his buddy.
Oh, man.
And his buddy the entire time is going,
for a dollar.
Yeah, it snapped on his nose.
And then he puts his nose on the mousetrap.
He put his mousetrap on a nose? He put his nose on a mousetrap.
Yeah, but it was for a dollar, so.
It was for a dollar.
Yeah. What do you get? Okay, what's
and since I'm new to this, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go at the side of the hand. So.
All right, Joe. Here we go.
Because, I mean, I already did the fingers.
Can be painful, Joe.
There we go.
God, I hate this. It's like sticking your finger in a
mousetrap.
Yeah. Here we go. Wait, move that away.
Oh! What does that take?
That's because you
don't put your hand there. Put your hand there.
All right,
well, all
right, Joe's got to do it again.
Do another one.
Here's another one.
Okay, that one got it.
There you go.
That one got it.
Oh, what a dummy.
He's the dumb one, Drew. Right. He's the dumb one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Little Joe. Here we go. Little Joe.
That's cool. It leaves a little line in there.
George has Elaine buy something for him and put it on the Peterson account. Only to learn later it costs $8,000. What is it?
That hat, that fuzzy rat hair.
The Russian sable hat.
The Russian hat, yeah. Yes.
Right. It's a fake one, isn't it?
No. They end up replacing it with a fake one. And then Jerry goes into Kenny's chicken and with his buddy as the manager, and he starts shaking the fake hat because it's raining and rat hair goes everywhere.
Kenny Rogers Roasters. And now you're tough one, little Joe. What's the first kind of soup that George orders from the so-called soup Nazi?
Is it? It's either lobster bisque or no? That's minestrone. I think it's minestrone.
Turkey chili.
Oh, I thought it was lobster bisque too. Yeah.
Well, what's it gonna be, buddy? Your hands again?
Yeah, why not?
And he's using three mousetraps.
He's going to do index.
You're going to lose. Just go all the way.
Three mousetraps. Yeah, he wants the lose broken, like the Raiders. He wants the broken bone.
I do want a broken bone. Why not? All right, ready?
Yeah.
Face away.
Oh, that might be the best ever.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
Oh,
you know, I don't think Joe has to play anymore.
Oh. How did you do it, Joe?
They all stuck to him.
I don't think you have to do it anymore, Joe. Yeah. If I was you, if you lose one, we'll do one more round. You lose next time. Choose something besides the mousetrap.
Damn. The tips
are the worst. Oh, right. Yeah, right. Oh, jeez.
You know what's funny?
The tip is the best, actually.
Even though I've lost this game, too, this is fun. I highly recommend the listeners over the weekend, you know, drink some beers.
Home, yes.
And play at home.
At home.
It's a blast.
Give me a question, Drew. Come on. Lay it on me now. Give me the easy one first. Easy first.
Here's easy. Jerry's dad, Morty, says his greatest moment came in 1946 when he came up with the idea for this.
Is it the man's ear?
No, the beltless trench coat.
He's the other guy.
Oh.
Yeah, you had the wrong dad.
Crap. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
and they just had that one on
yesterday or the day before. Thank God that was the easy one. Okay, the hard one.
Here we go. Jerry says Uncle Leo talks about this kid like he's... Oh, we had this one already.
All right. Pick out another one.
Hold on. I'm grabbing.
Pick out another one.
How long did Morty sell the raincoats for?
Pick out any
one.
That's
a good one.
Here's more over here. Hold on.
35 years as a raincoat salesman.
Yeah, here we go.
There's a whole bunch in the box we haven't used.
Oh, okay. Here we go. What does Elaine give Lou, the sidler, to keep him from making unexpected silent appearances next to her?
We had this yesterday. It's Tic Tacs. We had that yesterday.
Joe's just doing it for fun.
Oh, okay. Here's a good one.
All right.
Kramer spends some time in Jerry's apartment while it's being fumigated. Later on, what effects does that have on Kramer?
I remember that, and I don't remember that.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Because I know, because Elaine goes in to get the script, right? Yeah. Or a piece of a book that's being written. She has to hold her breath while she goes in there.
Right.
You know, I got no flipping idea. What is it?
Donnie can't taste anything.
Can't taste anything.
Can't taste anything.
The peaches?
Right, the peaches, right.
Drew, why don't you slap me?
Want me to slap you?
Yeah, those mouse traps scare me,
man. Oh, come on, try one.
You haven't done one yet, Don?
The mouse traps scare me, man. You won't do the mouse traps, and I won't do the slap. We're the flip side of the coin.
No, get the mouse trap away from me.
I tried to fool him. Reverse psychology.
Slap him with the
You're good, Dr. Drew.
Slap him with the mouse trap.
Okay.
All right, and
I don't know. Ready? Where I am. You do this?
This side? Okay, I'm ready. Go ahead. You do better than that.
Oh, don't say you could do better than that.
See, I would never do that.
Well, that was kind of like
never do that.
Dude, that really hurt.
I didn't pull back on the first one.
No, you didn't.
Dude, that second one, I swear to God. Jesus Christ.
That one came from way back behind.
I can't comprehend why you would choose that over a mousetrap.
Well, I can tell you why.
Because look at Joe's hand.
Well, that's because he's taking like seven at one
Actually,
time.
Actually, his index finger is very short.
Oh, oh, now you're just doing it on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
He's having fun.
Yeah. They're popping like firecrackers with short fuses.
My cheek is sore. I am not getting well done.
You asked for more.
Oh, dear. Okay.
My fingers hurt too. It's like 15 minutes later. It's like, boy, that's some serious stuff.
Last go around here, Drew Hoffer. Here is your easy one. This well-known TV weather person is sitting opposite Elaine on a subway train. Turns out he's also on the cover of TV Guide that she's holding. Yeah. Who is it?
Is it Mark Cantone?
It's Al Roker.
Oh. Yeah, Al Roker.
And now the hard one.
That's Jim Cantore. What do I say, Mark Cantone? What an ass I am.
Elaine says,
it's the easy one, man. It's
easy
one. I
said Mark Cantone.
I know. Hey, good guess, Drew.
What
a guess.
Douche.
Yeah, you're an ass.
What a douche I am.
The worst player ever.
I keep touching my cheek and wondering, how hard did you hit there?
Well, the first one, I just kind of, it was about a foot away from, and then the second one, I brought all the way from behind my shoulder.
He followed through on that.
I think you're right, Phantom. I shouldn't have said, is that all you got?
You should not have done that, because you don't use that psychology on Drew. He's a master of psychology.
It's like Cheech and Chong with the earache my eye.
Yeah.
are you trying to tickle me?
Which is why you can't trash talk a mousetrap. I mean, it's going to just snap on you anyway.
Drew Hoffer, here's your hard one. Last one. Okay. Elaine says that working with Kramer and his girlfriend Toby on the coffee table book is like working with a contestant from this TV game show.
Jeopardy?
That would be The Price is Right.
Oh.
And for your final go-around, what's it going to be? Is it going to be a slap, a trap, or a belt strap?
You giving Donnie the chance to revenge?
Well, let's do a little menage and have Craig and Dawn slap me at the same time.
Oh, now, come on.
Now, dude,
hey.
Craig, go ahead. You slap him. I slapped him yesterday.
All right.
You slap him.
He slaps like a pussy.
Because to be fair, Drew punched me. He didn't just slap me. He punched me.
Well, he did after you told him to.
Yeah. All right, Craig, give me some love.
All right, Craig, wind him up and give him a good one now. Here you go. Yeah, come on.
Oh, no. Now you
see,
have.
Same thing as me.
You
can do better than that.
Yeah, the mic was in my way.
You can do better than that.
Oh. Face me. Face me a little bit. There we go.
Oh, come on!
And Drew just snapped his fingers.
Inadvertently, though. Drew! Oh my God!
I gotta give Drew
the look on your face, Drew, I caught that.
I gotta give him
It's like somebody shot you in the head.
Fantastic. Can we reenact that for the camera? Can we just do that over again?
Look like you got wild.
What are they doing over there?
Drew was turning away because Craig hit him so hard. When Drew turned away, his hand inadvertently hit the four mouse traps.
That's insulting. That was amazing.
The look on your face was fantastic. I wish we had that.
Oh, man.
And you know what Craig did that I loved? You did the Keanu Reeves move and the Lawrence Fishburne move from The Matrix. You know when Lawrence Fishburne just puts his hand out and does the, come here? It puts his little fingers out like, dance this way. Come this way. That's exactly what you did.
He caught me.
And
he caught me.
Boom.
God damn, Jesus.
That was shocking, man.
Both Drew and I
really good.
Rubbing our cheeks now. Here we go, Phantom.
I'll just take the trap. Just give last Drew a question. I gotta kind of try to match Drew. There's no way.
Last one for Phantom. George is eating out with Sasha, begging her to order this pricey meal until she tells him the relationship is over. She ends up ordering it anyway. What is it?
Lobster?
It is lobster. And now your tough one. Hold on. We had that one yesterday. Give me a second. What household appliance with accessories does Kramer want back from Martin, who's in a coma? What household appliance with accessories does Kramer want back from Martin, who's in a coma?
A mixer.
A vacuum cleaner.
I was going to say vacuum cleaner.
Oh, vacuum
what a loser.
Cleaner.
That's where Jerry hooks up. Bad.
Bring me two over, Joe.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right, Phantom's going to take two final mouse traps.
Now we're going to go here. Yeah, put it that way. We're going to go.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Turn that one around.
Be careful now, Phantom.
Dear. Okay. Oh, what are you doing?
Got 10
Hold on. Wait, go through the middle?
No, here's what I'm going to do. Hold on. We're gonna go.
You're going to do the inside.
What's he doing? Describe what he's doing over there.
We're going to go one, two.
He's okay. Doing it.
So by doing the same thumbs?
He's doing the thumbs, Don. Yeah. He's going to do both thumbs.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Should have known it was a stupid vacuum cleaner.
Both thumbs.
The metal part stuck into his finger.
Oh, jeez. Didn't go as planned.
Did that draw blood, Phantom? That
not
looked
yet.
Like it did.
Well, I don't have a lot of blood left.
I love hearing that. It's a combination of the workings of the mousetrap and, oh, look at that.
Did it draw blood?
Draw blood?
Oh, yep. Just a little chunk out of it. Yeah, there's no blood there. Yeah.
Craig.
Yes.
Craig, it's your last one.
All right.
Here's the easy one to warm up on. Kramer stops in at Jerry's and greets the other three, calling them Archie, Veronica, and what does he call George?
Jughead?
No, Mr. Weatherby. You were right, okay. Though. On the right track. Here's your hard one.
What the hell was that?
That's slow.
That's Phantom's mousetrap just a second ago.
All right. Here we
go. Instant replay.
Craig, Kramer's girlfriend Toby has an unfortunate run-in with a street sweeper. What snack box does Kramer use as a temporary medical ice pack?
What snack box does he use as a temporary ice
pack? It's what he puts the toe in.
Yes, that's
the toe, right? That's what I thought.
Oh, it's a, it's like an igloo cooler or something, right?
Yeah, right. It's Cracker Jack box.
Oh, yeah. Oh, candy. Yeah,
just like it. Okay,
yeah, makes sense.
So, Craig, for your final punishment, will it be slap, trap, or belt strap?
bring over some traps.
All right, give him one more chance.
Put the tip of your thumb in there because it really hurts a lot.
All right, here's Craig's last time.
What are you gonna do, Craig?
Put him right there, just like that.
And uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Oh!
Last one for little Joe.
That was fun.
Last one.
I hope he gets it right.
For poor old little Joe.
Because I know what he's going to do if he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I cannot condone it. I can't condone it, Joe.
Little Joe, here's the easy one for you. Elaine gives Frank Costanza's TV guide to Ricky, a passenger on the subway train. What does he later create with it?
He creates like an Elaine, right?
No, he makes a bouquet out of it. He makes like flowers.
But for Elaine. Yeah. He makes a bouquet for Elaine. Elaine. That's
well,
what I
that's all right, Joe.
Fortunately, that was the easy one. Here's the hard one. After seeing Carol and Michael's baby in the Hamptons, Jerry tells Elaine, there's a little too much of this in their family gene pool.
Oh, yeah.
After seeing Carol and Michael's baby. The baby!
But what did he say?
In the Hamptons, Jerry tells Elaine there's a little too much of this in their family gene pool.
What? Oh, God.
I thought you wanted to miss it, Joe.
Well, then, yeah. Ugly.
No, chlorine.
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 Yeah.
Chlorine is what they said now.
Okay.
For the finale, what are you going to do here, Joe? You're going to use all the
No, you're not doing what you said to me. No, you're
no,
not.
No,
doing.
No,
no, stop
don't.
Him right
he's
now.
Doing
stop
his ear.
Him.
Nose.
Hold on.
Your ear.
Hold on. Stop him. And take a picture.
Hold on. Yeah, we got a good video.
Get a movie.
Hold on.
Of this.
Okay, first of all, stop it. And secondly, hold on.
It's his ears. He's going to do one of his ears.
No, he's not.
He's not? What's he doing?
No, he is.
How can he get enough force? Can you get enough force?
Now, you want
on
me
it?
To hold this, Joe? This mouse trap?
Are you sure you want to do your ear, Joe?
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Drew should apply it.
I should.
Yeah, because. Okay.
Jesus Christ. I don't know if I want to watch this or not.
That was a weird feeling. Just having Drew hold it scares me. All right, ready?
All right, here's Joe with the mouse trap on his ear.
Do that?
On his ear.
Ready?
Dude.
Oh, no!
Holy mother of God!
Oh,
MVP. My God, it's hanging on his ear. Are you okay,
Judge? MVP, Joe.
God.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Jesus
wow.
Christ.
I don't know what to say.
That's a walk-off. You got to walk off,
on
Joe.
The ear.
That's a walk-off, Joe.
on the ear.
Can you speak? You haven't said anything.
Oh,
Joe?
Gosh.
Yeah,
how,
that was it.
You're in some pain.
How
that,
was it?
That one hurt.
Craig, you got that on video?
I got that on video. That's going straight to Facebook.
Jesus. And Joe, you had it hanging on your ear yeah. for a while, like it was a big old earring yeah. or something.
It was
like
kind
of
cute.
That, Jesus.
Oh, good job, Drew.
Oh, right good on.
Job, Drew.
Everybody. Right nice job. And that's how we play. Oh. Slap, trap, or belt strap.
Very good.
I'm now a big fan. I realize I'm a little late to the party. Boy, I'm a big fan now. I'm really happy to have her on the show. Here is Amy Schumer. Yay. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. What a great intro.
Are you kidding?
Thanks
me? You,
lot.
You, I'm just sad that I didn't know more about you. Yeah, you killed
on. We found each other now, and that's all that matters.
You killed. I want to mention Amy's going to be at the at Punchline San Francisco over the weekend. Get your tickets at punchlinecomedyclub.com. Tell me something, and besides that, you're a very, very cute woman. Mm. I mean, I like my comedians oh. nice looking, nice and, nice and fresh
Johnny
face.
Smitten.
And you know,
thank
that,
you.
I think that works to your benefit as well, that with that sweet demeanor that you have, you look right at someone, smile at them right in the eye and say, "Hi, F you." And it just, it's beautiful. Can you, I want to ask yeah. you first about the Charlie Sheen roast.
Sure.
Because I don't know if you heard me say this, that took big balls to come out and make that joke to Steve-O. Regardless,
thank you. I have to be honest, I did not, that wasn't like the big joke. I didn't think, oh, this is going to be the really mean one. I just thought that was like a typical roast joke, you know, but mm-hmm. he definitely reacted to it like, I didn't even know that night, but then seeing it at Comedy Central, they cut to him and he looked like he was going to cry. But keep in mind, he had also run into Mike Tyson's fist
right.
and bombed, you know. So all the elements were against me, but I think it does work. And I don't know if I'll do more roasts, because you can kind of get away with that once. People just thought, who is this dumb girl? What is she going to say? And
oh, I disagree.
I look sweet and I look like I'm from the Midwest.
I disagree. I thought you were awesome. Can you just tell me, before we move on to other stuff,
sure.
what kind of response, I mean, you had to be blown away with the next day when everybody, all they're talking about is Amy Schumer, and that joke was so awesome, that bit was so awesome. What was it like in the next day or two after that?
Actually, it was pretty crazy. It was definitely more positive, but it was a lot of negative, a lot of crazy Jackass fans. I was actually getting death threats.
Were you really?
It was kind of scary, and... But it was, you know, Jackass fans, so I'm right. like, how would they do it? Would they, like, drop a huge, like, bucket of piranha on me? Like, you know, some big plastic fish. So, you know, it was tough to take them too seriously. But it's been a weird couple weeks, but it's died down, and it's been cool. It was kind of crazy. I've been getting recognized a lot, and now I kind of assuming it's from the roast and not, like, somebody I slept with in college.
How did you get into the business of being funny?
I was a funny kid. I was teacher's worst nightmare and class clown were my awards, you know? So I was always interested in what made me laugh the most and trying to make people laugh. And then, I just tried right out of college and never looked back.
When you come out on stage, do you have a list of bits? Do you have jokes in your head, or are you one of those people that just goes out there and you have an idea, and maybe if it takes you in another direction, you just roll that way? I mean, do you have bits?
Definitely both. Yeah, I love jokes. I'm a joker. I just tell totally true stories that I'm too embarrassed or worried about judgment for, and roll with it and feed off.
Oh, we got an awful.
Definitely both. Yeah,
we got an awful cell. We're having. Can you hold on a second? Hold on one second, Amy, please. Joe, can she call back on another line, or can we try her back again? Because I really want to talk to her, and I hate all the dropouts and stuff.
Yeah.
And not that I don't want any of you listeners out there to think that I don't appreciate you listening if you're a dropout.
Yeah, I hate those dropouts.
I'm all for dropouts.
There goes half the numbers right there.
Jobs was a dropout.
Yeah. I love it. Was Steve Jobs a dropout?
College, college dropout. College really? Dropout, yes, he was.
Like me. A dropout. Yeah. A dropout from society.
Yeah, so was Bill Gates. So was Mark Zuckerberg. It's a way to go, man.
Most of our great people are, Dave.
Yeah.
You know who else was? JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Yeah. Martin Luther King. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just mentioning the names that the other Apple guys said.
Woes.
what's his name? Steve
Wozniak.
Steve Wozniak.
Yeah. And that's his name. People forget there was a third guy in Apple that sold his Apple stock for $800. He was third guy. I don't know his name. He was the third guy. Yeah, thank you.
Mike Lamb. Here's Amy again. Hi, Amy. Hi there.
Hi, guys. I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's better. We can hear you much better now.
Oh, okay.
Listen, you're dropping off there when you were talking about you love making jokes, and that's going to lead me into the next question I want to ask you. Who do you like now? You're young, right? What are you, 30, something like that?
I'm 30, yeah. My favorite comics are definitely Dave Attell is my number one. Louis C.K., Chris Rock,
yeah,
Bill Burr. You know, I love Colin Quinn. Like I started in New York. I work in New York, so those are the guys that I see the most. I get to sit around with, and we trash each other. I feel like I've been in training to do a roast my whole life.
Why is there such a? And this is a good thing that I want to ask you about, all of you comedians. There seems to be a real camaraderie among comedians,
yeah.
like in radio. I don't know how familiar you are with radio, but it's like professional wrestling. I mean, all disc jockeys do all the time is talk about other disc jockeys and how we hate them and we want to kill them and we want their ratings to suck. And on the other hand, I see all of you comics. You're all going after the same prize. You all want to be up on stage. You want to be on top, but you have no problem helping out other people and being supportive of other people. Who was nice to you when you were coming up? Who helped you the most?
Well, I opened for Jim Norton and Dave Attell. I was on the road with them for about a year. I was like their little sister. And Jess Kirsten, just some New York headliners that just, you know, I was like, look, I'll open you anywhere for free. And they would take you on the road with them. And I think there's just a nobility to it because it is hard and most of it isn't fun. It's all the travel and the hotels that are gross. And it's just, there's a lot of anxiety and a negative side to it so that you know that these people really want this. And there is something kind of noble about knowing that everybody else is out on the road by themselves, living this sort of alternative lifestyle that you really just want to, you feel more connected to comics than anybody else and want to help each other along. And people definitely do this to me, and I'm doing that now with people. And my opener, who I bring on the road, it's like somebody who's really funny, but he loves stand-up, and I can just see that he knows that he has to do the work to get better. And that's the thing. It's not something you can, there's no fast track.
And conversely, was there anyone when you were coming up, or even now, that's just not been nice to you or has not been friendly to you? Someone that maybe you looked up to and you thought, wow, now this guy's a huge dick. Who was it? Or girl.
Yeah.
Who was it?
A comic in New York, and he's sort of fallen on hard times. There's a comic, his name's Todd Lynn. And he's so funny. I think he's sick now. But when I auditioned, Comedy Cellar's the best club in New York. And when I auditioned to work there, you have to do a set on a Saturday night at like 1:30 in the morning. Everybody's waiting. And he went up right, and I auditioned and really wanted to get into this club. And right after my set, he went up and he just said, all right, enough white girl BS. How about some real jokes? And I was like, God, like just knowing that I was like this young hopeful and he would just go up and be that aggressive.
Wow.
That's something you never forget, and you know, and I think about that, and it keeps me honest and nice to comics. But I got past that night, and now he's not doing so well. I mean, I honestly only wish him now, but yeah, I was like, wow, I can't believe. So the comics that are doing well and working, they're rooting for each other. I think it's the ones that are struggling and sort of can't find how to get ahead that there's more spite.
You know, and I've talked to plenty of comics, and another thing that I hear from a lot of people is that, like, when you're out traveling together, doing shows together, it's not unusual. I don't know who it was that mentioned this to us recently, but someone said they actually got $10 a show. Like, they did weekend shows. They did 7 shows over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they walked away with $70.
$70.
And I remember thinking, Jesus, you must really love your craft if you'll do it for $70. And they're talking about eating off the dollar menu at McDonald's, and yet those were the best times of their lives. How much dough, if you don't mind me asking, how much dough do you want to end up making on this thing? Do you think about it monetarily? Do you think about money?
I didn't before. I didn't ever consider that I could make a living from stand-up. I think anyone who gets into stand-up for money is doing the wrong thing. But I remember, like, the first thing, because comics make the most doing corporate gigs or colleges, you know. So I remember the first time I got to headline a college, my college agent called and said, you'll be making $800 to do an hour of stand-up. And I just thought that was the most money in the whole world. Like, I could not believe it. But, you know, now
I wouldn't do that, you know.
Right.
Things keep evolving, they keep changing. Hopefully, Chris Rock has a joke about how fast women get used to stuff. Like, when he first checked into a hotel, his wife was like, "Ooh, the Ritz, oh." And then, by, like, 30 minutes later, she's yelling into the phone going, "Cinnamon toast."
Who are you?
I think that's how we're all kind of wired. So I hope that... you know, it's a lot of money to me right now. Keeps changing.
Who are you influenced by? More by males or females? I know you mentioned Bill Burr, Louis C.K., yeah. Jim Norton. They're all very funny. But there's a lot of funny gals out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
I love a lot of funny women. That also has changed over time. I started out, and I loved Sarah. I was probably like a Sarah Silverman.
All right.
I was probably biting off her when I first started, and then Judy Gold, Wendy Liebman. I think, you know, everyone kind of borrows from each other until you evolve and find your own voice. So now 7 years in, I think you'll see a bunch of influences, but I think my style is my own now.
Now, are you one of those people? I know a lot of times when comics would get hot, if everybody wanted to be the next Jerry, they wanted to have their own sitcom.
TV show, like
right?
Whitney.
Yeah.
Do you envision yourself, if they came to you with a show like that show, Whitney, or Two Broke Girls, would you consider giving up your comedy for a while to do a TV show?
Fortunately, you don't have to give up your comedy. I've filmed a TV shows, you know, been on a set all day and then been able to still go do stand up at night. And I am in the middle of that. Developing a network television show.
Well, hey now,
so,
hey now.
But yeah, we're drug addicts. We're total addicts with we're also drug addicts and addicted to comedy. So it's like no matter what, I've done plays, I've done whatever, I always go back to the stand up stage at night.
What's the worst gig that you ever did when you just left and you thought that's it, I can't do this anymore?
I think a hunger strike outside the White House. It's probably the worst. Well, and then after I found out they were like, I ran terrorists, and I was like, whoops.
Now, do you have a
crowd. They weren't really laughing. They were kind of just shrugging. They hadn't eaten in like 2 weeks.
You have a boyfriend? You have a significant other in your life?
I do, yeah. He was on the roast too. Anthony's my boyfriend.
Now, so when you talk about him, and he was on the roast as well. Yeah, I didn't know that was really your boyfriend on the roast.
That's a Hitler Jesus guy.
Right. How does he feel when you work him into your bits, into your jokes? And do you work him into your jokes?
I do. I need to change it now because some people did, you know, the people that saw the roast and now know that we are together.
Right.
I have to change the wording from boyfriend to ex-boyfriend for some of them because I don't want them to be picturing him.
Yeah.
And so that's been complicated, and I think neither of us said. And then he has a lot of jokes about his girlfriend. So stage, he said the other night that he was like, "And my girlfriend," and some of that, Amy Schumer, and he was like, "Oh no."
let me ask you about that, Amy, because I didn't know that you were really dating him. I mean, I saw it on the show. Being as you're in the same field as him, what a pisser this would be. Do you ever envision the day when maybe he would break up with you? I'm sorry for saying this, but he breaks up with you because you become more famous than him. I would think if I was in the same field as you and I was competitive, and you're funny as hell, and let's say that, you know, you were doing all these big things and I was still playing, you know, the 555 ha-ha at the Funny Bone, at some point I might be resentful of you. Are you at all worried about...
Well, you know, I always introduce him as, "This is my boyfriend right now."
Like that.
I'm like, "Hey, this is my boyfriend, but I'm still looking." No, we've been really lucky that we've been together like 2 years, and we've been at the same level the whole time. We both work so hard. He is has a development deal at Comedy Central. I think that's in any relationship. It certainly wouldn't be a level of fame for me. It's like I just... the little tastes of that I've had, it doesn't appeal to me. I like working hard and feeling like I'm making people laugh. That's my favorite thing to do, and I think it's the same for him. So for me, it's like I hope, you know, just in any couple, you hope you keep kind of growing together, staying at the same pace. But man, if you know, I'm a motivated girl. Yeah, if anybody started to slow me down, probably I'd probably just cut and.
Just cut him.
There you go.
Just cut him and leave him.
Yeah, but he's such a hard worker. We're both like crazy. So
Well, I got to predict it. Well, you are going right to the top, honey. I swear to God,
you
are. And he's going to be coming out in your stool. You're gonna definitely have to upgrade and find yourself a better man. Listen, again, I'm sorry that I don't know all of the facts about you. I'm just getting into you now. Tell me.
Thanks for having me on the show. You don't need to apologize.
You're very welcome. You're awesome. All the late night guys. You've been on all those shows. I know that. Did I see you on Ellen? Have you been on Ellen?
I did. Yeah, I did Ellen. And I got to be the first girl to do stand-up on Ellen and also Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, which was cool. And I'm doing Conan on the 20th. Now, I've never done that, so I'm so excited about
this. This is what I want to ask you about. With all these guys and girls, and I know you have to be political and you can't say one guy sucks, one girl sucks, but of all those shows, do you have a favorite that you've been on thus far?
I grew up loving Letterman. to watch.
You used to what?
I love
She likes Letterman to watch.
Letterman's my favorite to watch, but... I really enjoyed doing Fallon. You know, Ellen's in the day, the crowd is all wearing pastel sweater vests. That's not really, you know, you have to really clean it. I have to really clean it up for late night anyway, but for daytime, I have to, like, really, really clean it up. It's hard. Comedy is something that's so natural live, and television kind of takes something away from it that's unnatural. So.
Is it still the biggest way for you to make an impact? I mean, now, these days, you know, you do that thing on Comedy Central, everybody sees it. Is it still a bigger deal if you go on Jay Leno or if you go on Letterman? Do more people recognize you? Is that a bigger hook?
No, it's really changed. There's so many channels and there's so many different late night shows. If you do well on Leno, maybe you get 1,000 new Twitter followers, you know, like after the roast, I got 30,000 new Twitter followers. And after my Comedy Central special, maybe 3,000. It's like, you really need to I learned this from Jim Norton. Jim does everything. He does radio, Leno, he'll go on anything, you know, and you got to piece together, but then I don't know, just hope that one thing hits and then you need your own show. It's not like it used to be. It doesn't matter. You could kill on Leno 10 times. It will not
have
it
the impact.
Help you on the road a little bit. But
thank you. That's interesting, and thank you for answering that. The last thing I want to ask you, do you know Charlie Sheen personally? Did you know him personally, and how did you get being on the dais for that thing?
I did not know him. I submitted to write for the roast, and then I made it through a couple, and they said, we don't want you to write. And I was like, all right. When I was really disappointed, I remember I was at a steakhouse, and I was just, like, slugging red wine. And then I only found out 2 weeks before the roast that I was going to do it. So, I wish I had known. I wouldn't have been drinking as much. But I hadn't met Sheen. But then the night before the roast, his manager had us all over to his, like, you know, Game of Thrones palace. and it was like, none of us, we were like, I was like, should I be standing on a coaster?
Hello?
Amy.
Well, and she's standing on a coaster.
That's a good.
That's
a good interview.
Can we get her back? Yeah. I mean, we get back just to say goodbye.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Joe says goodbye really
again.
Well.
There were those dropouts again. Those dropouts are killing me.
I wish she had a better cell.
And
I
was fighting that phone.
I'd like to ask her seriously if she'd do an intro for Phantom. Can we get her back on the phone?
Awesome. I'll try. Yes,
she'd be the most famous person.
Yeah,
we could get
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale.
How's she more famous than Wink Martindale?
Nick Nolte.
I would no. You know what? Phantom Goodpool. She's not as famous as Nick Nolte.
No.
But she definitely
is
younger.
She may get there someday.
She's younger and she's hotter. Yeah, I don't mean that in the physical way. I mean,
she's younger and hotter, yes.
She's younger and hotter.
Than Nick Nolte. You might want to tell her that. She'd feel
we
great.
We got her back again. Yeah. Amy.
Sorry, I'm sorry, you guys. This hotel they put you in, it's like a cruise ship. I'm in a submarine. Yeah, but anyway, I was saying Charlie, but Charlie Sheen, then we hung out after, and he was very calm and cool and so nice, and I wanted, you know, have some crazy horror story. But the cool thing is, Anthony and I watched The Roast in New York. He really wanted us to come watch it at his house. And we were like, we can't. We're in New York. And he's sending us his private jet to fly.
Wow, nice. Nice, sweet.
We're doing it. Uh-huh. But then we were like, wait a minute. We'll be an hour into the plane ride, and we'll be like, can you just take us home?
So you didn't end up. But it's nice, though. So Charlie Sheen was cool, and everybody on the roast was cool to you, and it's a great thing. Amy Schumer. Listen, Amy Schumer at the Punchline. It's in San Francisco.
Come on down.
She'll be there all weekend. PunchlineComedyClub.com for tickets. I think you're awesome and funny. If you would do me just one favor, the guy that does the news for me, his name is Phantom. Here he is. Hi, Phantom.
Hello, Don. Hello, Amy.
Could you,
hi, Phantom.
If you could just cut him an intro that says, this is Amy Schumer, and now here's Phantom with the news.
Okay.
We'll type it right now. 3, 2, 1, go.
This is Amy Schumer, and now Phantom with the news.
Could be my favorite ever.
Yeah. Just so you know who absolutely. you're going to be up that's there true. In the intro now with Nick Nolte and Wink Martindale. those are the celebrities we have. Amy, listen, I think you're awesome and you're funny as hell, and I hope that if you come back this way, we can get you in studio.
Absolutely,
you're great.
Absolutely, thank you so much.
You're really great. Awesome. Thank you. How very down to earth you are. Thank
bye,
you, Amy.
Bye,
bye.